Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a teaching through a brand new book that I have out entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And this is actually a compilation of 16 different books that I have. There's 16 chapters in this book, and each chapter just gives a brief summary, kind of like cliff notes of the whole topic. And I tell you, I'm excited about this because I believe this is a great way for you to get a broad picture, the big picture, of some of these major truths that God has shown me. And I think that is really beneficial. And also, I'm especially excited about this is a great way to expose other people to this ministry and to the truths that you've heard and that have been a blessing to you. You can just give this book. And rather than them getting bogged down in the details of one topic that may not ring their bell, they can just go through and get an overview of all of these things. And I can guarantee you something in there is going to apply directly to them. And they could go and get that book and study guide and do a more in-depth study on it. So I really think that this is going to be a tremendous book for people individually, but especially a tool to share these truths and introduce other people to these life-changing truths. So I'm really excited about it. We're now into our fourth week of teaching on this, and we're nearing the end. There are 16 chapters in this book, and we're now on the 14th of the 16 chapters. And today I want to talk about how God wants you well. You know, sickness is something that applies to every single one of us. The only people watching this program that may feel that, you know, this isn't an issue with you is a very young person. Even some young people have illnesses and things happen to them, but you know, you might be fine up until a certain age or something, but sooner or later you will run into sickness. And even if you aren't sick, people you know are going to be sick. You know, I was really a pretty healthy kid, but I had my grandmother who raised me up until about the age of 6 or 7. She died when I was 8 years old. And then my dad died just a few days after I'd turned 12 years old. I was around 3 people who died before I was 18 years old. And I dealt with a lot of death, a lot of sickness. My dad was always invalid when I was growing up. And so if it's not you at the moment, it will be sometime or another that you need to learn about healing, or possibly there's somebody close to you that you deal with. But this is just something that is important, and it is an integral part of what Jesus died to produce. You know, as we start talking about God wants you well, to me, it all boils down. Here is the number one thing that is necessary for you to receive the healing that God has for you. And that is that you have to believe it's God's will. You must believe that it's God's will. If you waver any at all about that, it says over in the book of James, chapter 1, it says that when you ask of God, you have to believe without wavering. Because if you waver, you're like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't waver. You've got to believe that you receive when you pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. And so there are a lot of people who believe God can heal, but they aren't convinced God wants to heal you. And because of that, they pray a prayer, but then they waver. And they don't receive anything of the Lord. To me, this is the most important issue. Now, there's other things about how do you release this. And there's a lot of things involved in healing. But the most important issue is you have to believe that it is God's will for you to be well. And how do you come to that conclusion? How did I come to that conclusion? Well, the Word of God, of course, is the revelation, and it teaches us all of these things. And there's just a lot of verses on this. Like over in the book of 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That right there says that it is God's will for you to be well. And then look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 1 in verse 3. It's talking about Jesus and how Jesus is the most superior way that God has ever communicated with the human race. It surpasses all of the Old Testament revelation, the law, angels, anything else. And speaking of Jesus, it says in verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The first part of this third verse says He is the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. This express image means that He is a perfect representation. He's not just a similar representation. You know, in a sense, it's like I am here representing God and I am speaking for God, but I'd never make the claim that I am a perfect representation of God. Jesus represented God the Father perfectly, so much so that in the 14th chapter of the book of John, he told His disciples, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." You know, I can't say that about myself. Not in my actions, not in my attitudes. I'm better than I've ever been, and I'm getting closer. But Jesus was perfect. Jesus represented God to the T. There wasn't a single attitude. There was never a word said. There was never an action done by Jesus that didn't represent God completely. Now, the reason I bring all of this up is to discuss, is it God's will for you to be well? Well, just look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? You could go through the Bible, and I mean just time after time after time. Like in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, a man who had leprosy came, and he says, "God, I know that You can heal. You have the power to heal, but I don't know if it is Your will. You can heal me if You want to." And Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." Now, see, he didn't have the benefit of all of the New Testament scriptures and the revelation that Jesus brought of God the Father, but he knew that Jesus could do it if he wanted to. Now we have his answer. "I will, be thou clean." And we find out that this wasn't an isolated instance with this man. Jesus did all of these things. He healed all of these people. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Notice, this says that it was good to heal. You have some religious people today saying that healing is of the devil. That just doesn't even make sense. But the Bible says it was good. He went about doing good, healing all, not some, but all. You know, I've got a little booklet on God Wants You Well. It's like a little pamphlet type of thing. And on the back of it is a listing of every single time that Jesus healed a person recorded in Scripture. And you go through them, and I forget now the exact number, but I think in Matthew alone, I think there are 14 instances where it talks about that He healed all that came unto Him. He healed everyone. In some way, it expressed that He healed every single person. There is not one instance in the Bible, in Scripture, where Jesus told some person that this sickness came from God. God wants you to be sick, and I'm not going to heal you because it's God's will for you to be sick. There's not a single one. You can't find it. Jesus healed every single person. And also it says in Acts 10:38, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. They weren't oppressed of God. This didn't come from God. God doesn't put sickness on you. This isn't His punishment. Or another twist that some people put on it, they will tell you that, well, God is using this to do some great thing. He's humbling you and making you better through this. That is not true. Sickness has come to make you sick and to discourage you and to snuff your life out. It's a product of the fallen world that we live in. God is not the one who is making you sick. It is not God's will for you to be sick. I know some of you are thinking, did I actually hear Him say that? Yes, thus saith the Lord, it is not God's will for you to be sick. God wants you well. That is absolutely true. And see, if you waver in that, again, James chapter 1, you can't receive anything of the Lord. You've got to know that it's God's will. So Jesus is the express image of the Father. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Not most of them, not some of them, all of them. And it says that he was the express image. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Did Jesus ever have a prayer line and lay hands on people and give them cancer, blindness, deafness to make them a better person? Did he ever make anybody a quadriplegic so that they could do nothing but look up? Yeah, there's people saying that. There's people on media today saying God made them a quadriplegic, that this is God's will. You can't see it in Jesus. Jesus never made anybody a quadriplegic. He never gave a person a sickness. He never told a person, I will not heal you. He never turned a single person down. Now, there are people that turned Jesus down. In the 6th chapter of the book of Mark, you can find that he went into his hometown, and it says he could do no mighty work there, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk. It didn't say he wouldn't do it. It said he couldn't do it. And this same instance that's recorded in Mark 6:5 is also recorded in Matthew 13:58. And over there it says he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Not his unbelief. Jesus had the power of God functioning in him completely, perfectly. And yet the unbelief of other people stopped it. Now see, here's another reasoning that hinders people from receiving healing. They think, well, if what you're saying is true and if God wants you well, then why isn't everybody healed? Because not everybody believes and receives. The same reason that God wants everybody saved, but not everybody saved, because you have to believe. You have to seek the Lord. And there are some people who think that they're saved, but they aren't, because what they're trusting is church membership. The fact that they were christened when they were a baby. The fact that they have some kind of a certificate hanging on the wall and they think that they're in right standing with God, but they've been deceived and they don't go about it the right way. Likewise, there are some people who can believe that it's God's will for them to be well, but they can't receive it because they aren't going about it the way that the Word of God says. So God's will doesn't just automatically come to pass, but it is a starting point to understand that God wants you well. Boy, you've got to believe that. You've got to understand that it's a part of the atonement. There are so many scriptures. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. It puts it into the past tense. And that's a reference back to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, where it says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus literally suffered so that you could be well. It's one of the great tragedies that religion has broken healing into, I mean, salvation into different parts. And they say that the only part that is absolute and that is for everybody and that you can just claim and receive is forgiveness of sins. But then they look at healing as something God can do, but it's optional. And it depends on whether you're a worthy person or whether God wants you to suffer to make you better or whatever. And finances is another thing that he can prosper people, but it's not something that you can count on. And joy and peace is something that God can do, but you have to conform to all of these rules and rituals to be able to qualify for it. And they've broken salvation into these different parts. But if you look at the Greek word sozo, the word that is translated save, salvation, all kinds of, it's even translated healed over in James chapter 5, I believe it's verse 14, where it says, if any man's sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, praying over him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That word save there is sozo. And it's obvious that that's talking about heal the sick. So if you look at the Greek language, the word sozo that was translated salvation, it's not limited to forgiveness of sins. It includes that, but it also includes healing. It also includes deliverance from all kinds of things from the devil, oppression, depression, everything that the devil can do. It also includes all of the goodness of God, just everything that Jesus purchased. And my point is that Jesus died and suffered physically so that you could be physically healed. Healing is a part of the atonement just as much as forgiveness of sins is. I doubt that any of you watching this program would say, well, God just wanted me to go commit adultery to teach me something, to humble me, to make me lose my marriage and so that I could be humbled. And, you know, we know that maybe you need to be humble, but God's not going to make you go commit adultery and live in sin to do it. That's not God. See, people understand that. No, God came to redeem us from our sin. He would never lead you into sin. Well, likewise, He just as much died to produce physical healing. He would not want you to be sick any more than He wants you to sin. If you got to where you hated sickness as much as you hate sin, I guarantee you, you would start seeing more healing manifest itself in your body. But see, most people, even most Christians, look at healing as kind of an optional thing. But again, 1 Peter 2:24 says, by His stripes we were healed. It's already been done. See, my father, he was a deacon in the Baptist church. He was the chairman of the deacons. He was a godly man. My father led a lot of people to the Lord. At his funeral, our church only had, I don't even remember at that time, but it was maybe 300-400 people, something like that in the church. And at his funeral, we had over 600 people in the church and people outside. Man, he touched a lot of people's lives. He was a godly man. But did you know what? The church that I grew up in, that he was a deacon in that church, they preached that forgiveness of sins was salvation and that healing was something that God could do, but it wasn't part of your salvation. It was just something that if God is God, He can do anything. So they believed it was possible. As a matter of fact, my father died just a few days after I'd turned 12 years old, but he actually died when I was only 1 or 2 years old. He was the 50th person, I think it was, that this Dr. DeBakey did an artery transplant from his heart to his knee. And he literally put a human artery in from his heart to his knee. And he was the 50th patient and the first one that lived through it. Everybody else had died. And my dad actually died. They pronounced him dead. They put the sheet up over his head and put him out in the hall on a stretcher. And the pastor of the Baptist church that we went to, they had an all-night prayer meeting. And I forget all of the details, but sometime in the middle of the night, he just told the people, he says, I believe God's answered our prayer. I'm going home. And he ended the prayer meeting. It was at that exact time that my dad was out in the hall under a sheet, pronounced dead. An orderly came up to get the bed and push him down to the morgue. And my dad sat up, kicked the sheet off and sat up and said that this orderly wet his pants just right there in the middle of the hallway of the hospital. So my dad had experienced healing, but he lived basically invalid. He had a lot of problems and wasn't ever normal. And finally, he died again when I just turned 12 years old. And you know what? They believed that God could do it, but they didn't know that it was part of our salvation, that it was something that we could receive and stand on and fight for and resist the devil and make come to pass. It was all in a passive way, saying, oh God, we know that You can do anything. If it be Your will, heal. But that's not how you receive healing. You've got to know that it is God's will. See, if the Lord told us in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, also over in Luke chapter 9, it says the same thing. But as He sent His disciples out, He says, go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He didn't tell us to pray for the sick. He didn't tell us to ask God to heal the sick. He told us to heal the sick. And in the third chapter of the book of Acts, you can see Peter and John going into the temple at the time of prayer, and they saw a man who had been lame from his mother's birth. And they never even prayed a prayer. How unreligious was this? They didn't say, oh God, we are nothing, we have nothing, we can do nothing, but we know that You can do all things. Would You stretch forth Your hand? See, that's the way people pray today. No, they saw this man. They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, such as I have. Did you know that would get them kicked out of nearly any church today? Because this, again, is not our attitude. We say, oh, I have nothing. It's not me, it's Jesus. And we just beg God as if we are nothing. They said, such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they reached down and grabbed the man by the hand and just yanked him up. And he went walking and leaping and praising God. They took their authority. They believed that God had already done it. And he placed this power on the inside of us. And they commanded healing to flow through this man. Most people that come to me come and they say, I'm nothing, I have nothing, would you please pray? And they come so pathetic and say, it's just impossible. It's beyond the doctor's ability. I just don't have any. They aren't taking their authority. They don't believe that God has already provided healing. They believe it's something that could happen. And if you hold your mouth just right, if you are an anointed man of God, if you've got the special gift, if you've done holy, if you've been holy, if, you know, whatever their criteria is, maybe God might heal. You know, if that's the way that you approach forgiveness of sins and thinking God could save, but sometimes he wants to save, sometimes he doesn't, sometimes God just wants you to suffer because he's mad at you. If that's the way that salvation was presented to you, none of you would have gotten born again. But no, it was presented as it's already done. He's already paid it now. It's just up to you. Will you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead? If you do, you shall be saved. And so you just reached out and took it. That's the way you've got to be with healing. You've got to know that it's already been provided and that you don't have to just passively wait on God to heal you and petition him. He's already placed raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And if you want to receive God's healing, you've got to find out that it is his will, that he has placed this power on the inside of you. And then you've got to make it come out by you taking God's word and speaking it and using your authority. And you can't do that. You can't have that kind of an attitude if you are wavering on whether or not it's God's will for you to be well. You know, really, if you are going to be consistent, if you really think God wants you to be sick, well, then quit taking medication. Quit going to the doctor, because that's getting out of God's will. If God wants you to be sick, then why don't you just let it run its full course? Why don't you let the pain have its maximum impact? Now, of course, I'm not saying that that's what you should do, but I'm saying that would be consistent. If you're saying that God wants you sick, then why are you going to the doctor trying to get out of God's will? If you're saying God wants you to have this pain, why are you spending so much money on medication to diminish the pain? That's inconsistent. That's hypocritical. Either God wants you well or he wants you sick. And I'm telling you, God wants you well. It is God's will. And if you could understand that, it would set you free. You know, I've not only got this book and these materials that cover God wants you well, but we've also got people standing by that will pray with you. You could be healed today. We've got people that know that it's God's will for you to be well. So please call that number that you see on your screen and request the materials and prayer.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the fourth week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma next week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta Sunday, May 8th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
The desert oasis of Tucson, Arizona. Here, Mike and Caroline Hesch joined a non-denominational church, submitting themselves to a strong-willed pastor. In time, they became victims of religious ideas as malignant as the tumor that threatened to consume both of their lives.
I didn't know what was going on. I just knew that things in my body weren't working right. And then this thing that it was growing, it grew off what I call it a tentacle, or like this arm I could see like growing out underneath my skin in there and spreading out. And it was nasty. It was just like a manifestation of the devil. He was just sucking my life out. He's stealing away my happiness and my joy. I do have to say, though, that it was all by my consent, because I didn't take a stand against him, you know.
And at that point, Mike was so sick, I don't know if I'm going to come home and find him alive.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net, click on Ministry News, and take a healing journey with Mike and Caroline Hesch